It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom, Season 2, Episode 2.
Yes, sir.
I'm Jason.
I'm John.
Brother John's going to say a quick little prayer, and we'll get started.
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, we just want to commit ourselves to you, Father. Just surrender everything to you. Surrender our thoughts to you. Surrender our tongues to you, Father. Just allow whatever it is that you want for us to get out, Father, that it come through us, Father God. So we just lift it all up to you and thank you for your goodness and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. So it's been,
I think we're working on
3 or 4 weeks that we haven't had like a,
yeah,
actually the last podcast was kind of improvised. It was,
yeah, you're still recovering from a back surgery. And
yeah, it was in my dining room.
Yeah. Yeah. you weren't supposed to be driving. So
yeah,
you kind of got stuck.
Yeah. Kind of got stuck in the house. But we haven't actually sat down in the booth in a while.
You and I haven't had a conversation in a while.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things can happen in times like that. We've talked, don't get me wrong. I don't want people to take the thought that, like, we stopped talking to each other.
No, that's not the case.
No, we talked to each other plenty. I came and visited you because I had some time off after your surgery. I got to come and sit with you for the day,
which I was not getting around very good then.
You weren't doing a lot at that point. Yeah. That was only day 2 out of surgery, right?
Yeah, day 3.
Day 3 out of surgery, right? Yeah, so we just sat on the couch and watched movies, and I think we both slept a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was hard, you know, like we couldn't have a real conversation because you were still kind of loopy, you know what I mean? Like pain and everything just...
Yeah, I was still force-feeding the meds.
Yeah.
Which been off of for... Oh, well, over a week and a half. I mean,
Christmas Day we had talked. You said you hadn't had it in several days.
I took a pain pill a couple nights ago to go to sleep. I had a rough day. Like I sat straight up too long.
Mm.
So I was having a rough day. But
yeah.
Other than that, I mean, I just took one, slept fairly decent. And
yeah. You know, I hope everybody listening listen to. You know, hopefully they're all listening to every episode, but episode 52 was really solid. I thought it was a great episode to get we could get paid a lot of homage to Christmas and really talked about we accomplished a goal that we had set out, you know what I mean? And like we should celebrate our goals, but man, you got to stay tuned because these things are getting better and better. I did all the editing for 53. On Sunday, and I was very impressed with the conversation we had when we had our whole group in. And so, you know, I hope we're creating content that people want to hear and we're doing some things to lift people up and kind of help people's lives and all that. But, and you're getting to see our beautiful faces a little more often.
Yeah.
we're working tirelessly to figure out ways to improve what we do. And, you know, I don't know. I might be biased, like I said, because it's us and all that stuff, but I try to listen without a bias, you know what I mean? I just try to listen like I'm like, okay, I don't remember exactly what we talk about when we sit down. So, like, when I go back to edit and all that kind of stuff, it's always, there's always a surprise.
Yeah, like you get a glimpse of it again. You're like, oh yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. You know, and to do it with seven other dudes or six dudes, other dudes and seven people at a table. It can be a little chaotic, but man, they did a really good job.
I was worried about echo.
It didn't do as bad as you think. Now, when I do something like that, you can hear a lot of echo, but if, as long as we were in the mic, it was really good.
I know there was a couple times I drifted, but I was having a hard time sitting.
Getting comfortable.
Yeah, that was a, not trying to make any excuses, but that was a rough patch there for.
Yeah, did we didn't talk, so.
That was exactly a week after my surgery.
Yeah, exactly a week. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I was like, bro, we got to start recording because I'm out. Yeah. We have one episode that's going to come out this Thursday, and then we're out. Yeah. You know what I mean? So we better start getting some material together. Yeah. It was nice to have a little bit of a break, a little bit of reprieve. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to lie. But this has become such an intricate part of what I do. Like,
yeah, we do it every week.
You miss it, you know?
Yeah, it gets to a point where it's like,
it feels like something's missing when you ain't doing
it's like
it.
Off. Yeah.
So anyway, I hope everybody had a very Merry Christmas and a very safe and happy New Year. I know we started off the day with some terrible, terrible news with what is being called a terrorist attack in New Orleans. I don't know a lot of details. I just know a person run a truck through a crowd of people and killed 10 and injured
at
least.
Last number I got was it was up to 15.
Some people must have died. Injured category. Yeah. Just terrible, terrible stuff. And, you know, it's moments like that when it's a constant reminder that we have to get back to God.
Yeah.
You know, one of the goals that we talked about whenever we got together to set our goals for this next year for Bumper Sticker Wisdom was to keep God first.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just the only thing I can think that's going to help our nation, help our world, help our community is to get God back in it. You know what I mean? And so, I don't know. I just pray for everybody that they're going to do that, you know. Uh-oh. The first strawberry bonbon of the season, too. I was curious, though, just to kind of get this conversation going in a different direction, kind of get over, you know, the holidays and really start getting started on this new year. I left everything from 2024 behind. I'm proud of what we did. I'm ready to do more and get better. Continue to get better, but curious if you had anything that you've been I know you've been a little bit out of it with the surgery and all that kind of stuff, but I was just curious if there's anything that's kind of jumped out at you recently.
Well, we talked about it Monday night.
Okay.
You sent me a video of the guy prophetizing or whatever, however
he says proselytizing, I think is what he says.
When he talks about how much you have to hate someone, if you know there's a heaven or a hell, and you don't teach, you're not out there actively trying to teach people.
Yeah.
You know, like if you really truly believe there's a heaven,
yeah,
you also believe there's a hell. And if you're not out there trying to recruit people into heaven, how much do you have to hate them?
That's a very strong. I'll go ahead and play the video because it's interesting.
That's been radiating on my mind ever since I saw that video.
I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize?
Proselytize. That's a strong statement, man. Think about that. Saying, like, how much do you have to hate somebody to not share the good news?
Yeah.
It really kind of stuck me with a dagger in the heart when you sent it to me because I was like, wow, like I'm not gonna say that I don't do anything, but I'm not out there actively
recruiting,
you know what I mean? Now I'm saying that you start thinking about things, you're like, well, you take some moments, but it's not like I'm not strongly doing that.
Yeah, someone that's clearly not walking the right path, that's clearly they're clearly living in darkness and sin evil and stuff like that, and you're just like, meh.
Yeah. And the reason I don't want to is because I feel weird and I don't want to make it awkward.
Yeah, or you don't want to start something that you don't want to start a rage war with this person because they
right.
But you never know, they may be receptive.
Very much so. We talked about it recently too, like about how, like, when you start to do this, you start to see things out of people. You start to see their discomfort with what you're doing and stuff like that. But then you also, sometimes they may respond in that way in the beginning, but at some point they might go through something and go, you know, and I've said it was a weird way to start a conversation, but it's like, you know, I don't believe in God, but I know you do.
Yeah.
But it's really good when somebody does that. That means something, right? When they come to you and they're like, hey, I'm struggling and I know you don't believe in God or believe in God. So like, can you help me? Or what would you know what I mean? Like it's a door that's being opened. And like, if you're not taking that opportunity to push right through it, I think that's definitely an opportunity missed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds me of something that happened recently. And I've been thinking about this a lot too, was, so I don't know if you know or remember it's probably been a few months ago now. I had that young man that I work with that came up to me and said, you know, I didn't even know that you were spiritual. Right. Yeah. And I kind of, at first I took it not personal, but I was kind of taken aback by that. Right. Cause it's like, man, I'm not doing a very good job of being evidence of it being evident. Right. Well, he doesn't come to see me very often, but every once in a while he'd come and talk to me about something. Right. Like he's finally committed himself to the Lord and you know, whatever. So the other day he came into my office and he said, man, I'm sorry, I know you're busy. And I was like, no. And I just stopped what I was doing. I was like, if you need to talk to me, dude, my door's open. What's up?
Yeah.
You know? He's like, oh, I was just going to tell you, I read my first book of the Bible. I was like, oh, cool, man. What'd you read? What'd you start with? Start with Genesis or, you know what? And he's like, no, I read Ephesians. It's like, oh, wow, interesting. That's an interesting book to start with.
Yeah.
And he started telling me how, he liked the starting in around chapter 3, it starts talking about the marriage relationship, right? The
how four of three strands is not easily broken.
So, anyway, he's like, I had a question. And he said, I can't remember exactly the scenario, but there's like a group of guys, right, at like a dinner or something like that. And, there was this family with a, special needs kid. And one of the men in this group and he's like, dude, he's a good guy. Like he's a follower of Christ, but he started saying things like kids like that are a burden on their parents and like saying some pretty not very nice things. Yeah. Right. And, he said, and then a couple of days later he started having health problems and he said, do you think that that's God punishing him? And I was like, well, I mean, that's one way of looking at it. I guess it could be, but I said, to me, I don't think that's how God works, right?
I think it's coincidental.
It could be very coincidental, but I also think that
also is the tongue has the power of life and death.
There you go. That's where I was headed.
Speak positivity, you know?
When you start
that, that resonates here first.
Yeah, it starts with you, right? So I guess I started telling him, you know, I kind of started throwing scripture at him on how I understand it about the power of the tongue and how. Like, what you're putting out into the world is what you're getting back, right? So, like, it says, that's why it says, judge not lest you be judged. Yeah. How you judge others, how you will be judged, right? I don't think God punishes us necessarily, but he allows he allows what you...
Yeah, what you speak, he allows to come into...
He's going to allow it to come back to you, right? So, like, but that's because you chose it, right? It's not him. He's not doing it to you.
Yeah, he's not... Watch that.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the danger that people get like he's a no, you know what I mean? And like it's not like that.
Don't get me wrong. I think in certain areas God does. When you do evil,
I think he definitely intervenes at times.
Yeah, I think he does do things to kind of bring light to the situation where you're like, okay, yeah, I was wrong.
Right. Right. You know what I mean? Well, sometimes you gotta learn your lessons in dark places.
Yeah.
Right, and you get in those dark places by bad decisions you made or bad things you did or whatever.
Yes, because I mean, you think about some of the stuff that us as humans we do. Sometimes it's easier to be taught than just to be told.
Yeah, for
you know
sure.
what I mean? Because we hear all the time, "Oh, that's not right. Oh, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. Oh, that's wrong. Oh, you shouldn't do that. Oh, that's wrong." But then when you do something and you have to pay
the consequences.
You got to pay the consequences, and the repercussions come around.
Yeah,
that. Is where you truly learn,
right?
You're being taught
the hard way.
Yeah, you're not being told something and being taught something are two different things.
What did we talk? You said early on in the show, you said something like lessons earned and lessons given or something like that. Like,
yeah,
the difference between a dad and a mom usually is, you know,
like a penny in a light socket. A dad's gonna be like, oh, no, hold on.
Let's see what
he'll learn. This will be the last time.
I promise.
And then he does it, and it's like, huh, now what did you learn? And the mom's always going to be like, no, don't do that.
Yeah. What's that? I don't know if you've ever seen those videos, and it's like parents getting frustrated with their children, like holding the pot, trying to hand it to the children. It's hot on the bottom.
And they, it's hot on the bottom.
It's hot on the bottom.
Yeah, but I've never seen one where they say it so calmly. It's usually some curse words.
By the time you get to the fourth one, it's like, it's hot on the bottom.
I said it's hot on the bottom.
God, why are you so mad?
Yeah.
Because you don't listen, mother.
As they're sitting there barehanded, no pot holders, no nothing.
Yeah, I know.
And they're like, here, take this. And they're like, it's hot.
Yeah, don't do that.
It's hot.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
So there goes dinner, though.
Yeah, there goes dinner.
So anyway, that's kind of what was – I just found it interesting. It's a couple of things. Number one, it's like I'm glad because I feel like he feels safe and comfortable to come and talk to me about stuff like that. And it's also – it's good for me, too, just because it's a blessing to me to be able to be in those kinds of moments, right? Yeah. It just reminds me that – that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
Right? That's what we're here for. Every single day is like that. Every single day is for that.
Anytime that you can actually reach somebody, someone comes to you willingly, you know, like, hey, I need some help, or I need this, or I need that, or whatever, and it's a spiritual request.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, that's great, because you're filling a void that they don't know how to accommodate by themselves.
Right. Well, and the idea that for them to come to me, I still get overwhelmed by that idea. Like, me? You know what I mean? I still have that.
Yeah.
When people come to me for spiritual things, like, wow, God, you chose me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, wow, me? You're sure? Me?
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. I still get starstruck like that for some reason. Anyway. It just feels good, you know. Yeah. It feels good to be able to be that. It also feels good to know that God did choose you. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, so moving on. Come out to LA.
Hold on, let me give me one of these, one more of these. For now, these are gonna go freaking so fast because I'm.
They were in the bag before.
I know, but I didn't ever want to make no noise. Now it's like right there. It's like.
You got a candy jar.
Yeah.
Was that three or two?
Three already.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Okay. I'll cover it in foil or something.
Cover it in something that makes a lot of noise. That way I'll be like. I won't want to touch it.
That's funny.
Anyway, so. You also. Sent me another video.
Okay.
Not to really change subjects.
Oh, you're good. You know how this works.
But you sent me the one on the 7 days.
Okay.
Going back to Genesis.
Yep. So if we're going to do that, I would like to look at the scripture first. Just kind of read through that. Genesis chapter 1. And it's an interesting conversation. I don't know if he's accurate or not or right, but it's worth some thought.
Well, but you sent it to me, and it was like, man, you're going to have to explain that to me, because the way my mind don't work that way.
Yeah. So let's read through the scripture. That'll probably help a little bit. So Genesis chapter 1, I think it's the whole thing. Yep, and going into this chapter 2. Ooh, I'm going to have some reading to do.
Okay, do we need to shift gears out of that? Is that going to eat up too much time, or are we good?
Nah, we got plenty of time. Okay, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know what? I'll just do the highlights, because it's important about how each day ended.
Yeah.
Okay, so God said, let there be light. There was light. God saw the light was good. He separated light from darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and morning, and that was day one.
Yeah.
Okay. Second day, he says, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. God made the vault, blah, blah, blah. God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning, second day. So now you've had evening and morning, right? Next day, he let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And the gathered waters he called seas. God saw it was good. Then he told it to produce fruit and vegetation. And there was evening and there was morning, third day. Lights in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them serve as signs to mark sacred times, which is the stars. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night, which is the sun and moon.
Yeah.
Also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to govern the day and the night. He saw it was good. There was evening. There was morning. Day four. Now he starts creating creatures. God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let the birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So he created all the creatures. He said, he blessed them, said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. There was evening and there was morning. Day five. Then he started produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind. Saw that it was good. Then he said, then he creates man. This is still on the fifth day, or after, this is the sixth day. Let us make mankind in our image and our likeness so that they may rule over the fish and the seas and the birds in the sky. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, rule over the fish and in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then he said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. It will be your food. So, yeah, he's at this point, he's created everything. Yeah. God saw that he had made, and it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning. Day six.
Yeah. So now we're rolling into day seven.
Day seven. Now the earth and the heavens were completed in their vast array. The seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And then it moves on to the Adam and Eve story.
So no evening, no morning.
No evening, no morning. And that's what this conversation ends up being about.
Yeah.
Right, so we'll play this video and let him explain it, because I couldn't.
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of discuss it. Well, one of these days I'll get good at this.
It's coming.
First 6 days end with an evening morning phrase. Evening was, morning was, day X, which told me each day has a definite start time and a definite end time. You get to day seven, there's no evening morning phrase, implying we're still in God's seventh day. And both Psalm 95 and Hebrews 4 explicitly declare we're still in God's seventh day.
Well, that's the best explanation of Genesis I've ever heard. I love that.
The first time I picked up the Bible, read Genesis 1, said this answers the fossil record enigma. For 6 days God creates. On the seventh day, he ceases from his work of creation to focus on his work of redemption. And I also realized that's the principle of the Sabbath. Mm. For 6 days we work. On the seventh day, we focus on the most important issues of life. And as I read through the creation text, I was surprised to discover God begins his works of redemption before he creates anything at all, which implies everything that God creates is for the purpose of redemption, and it made sense of the seventh day when God stops creating and redeems. The first 6 days end.
So let's just kind of talk through it. What, first of all, I know, like, at first that's kind of confusing, because I was confused too,
yeah.
Right? Now, that's why I was like, you know, you need to read the scripture, because then it makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
The fact that each day there was a day, and there was an evening, and that was day one.
Okay, so what got me when he says that we're still living in God's seventh day?
Yeah.
And you talk about God's timing.
Yeah.
You know, it could be this long to God, and you can be like, oh man, you need help with that. Here you go. But it can be 20 years for us.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That's why I was like, okay, so the time, that's where it makes sense, how the timeline, how God's timing works. Like, it's never immediate. Like, it always seems like it's like, you pray for this and you pray for this and you pray for this and nothing's ever happening. And then one day it's like, you forget to pray for it. You know, like, you stop praying for it. You're like, oh, nothing's going to happen. And then just out of the blue, it's like, here you go.
It's like, we've gotten so jaded over about stuff nowadays. And one of my kids, like, he's like, he's sick as a dog. And I'm like, bro, you got insurance, go to the doctor. And he's like, they're not going to do anything anyway. You know what I mean? Because he's had a couple of bad experiences, right? So I think over time, especially like you said, over time, you kind of get numb to it. It's like, you know, I've been doing this for so long, you're not answering it anyway.
Yeah.
And that's really a bad way of looking at it, because just because you didn't get to what you wanted doesn't mean you didn't answer the prayer, right? Yeah. Or it wasn't time. It's not it's not ready yet, you know? Yeah. There's things that I've been passionate about my whole life. You know what I mean? Like, being a teacher is a great example. Yeah. I always wanted to teach kids. I mean, since I was like 8, I've always wanted to teach kids. Young people, people younger than me have always kind of gravitated towards me.
Yeah.
It's been that way forever. And I've always wanted to teach and always wanted to teach. And I tried to do it and my career path changed and the education system's not what it was when I was young. Like, right. I didn't just want to teach them a book. I wanted to mentor kids. You know what I mean? And so I did kind of think
about what you're kind of doing now.
Exactly. Right. And I kind of want, you know, I thought about going counseling and whatnot, but then you start like, I will say that I made a decision for money. Okay. I got offered a good deal. I make a good living.
Yeah.
It's a good company I work for. You know what I mean? Like I pivoted.
Yeah.
And the thing about it was, though, I don't think that's what God's plan was for me anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Because now where I am, I'm doing that anyway.
Yeah.
I don't make, I don't get paid for it.
That's not, you're doing it through the church.
Right. I don't, it's not my source of income.
Yeah.
Right. But I actually do get to mentor them and talk to them about life and talk to them about Jesus. Like, it's things that I can't do at school. Yeah. You know what I mean? So God had a different plan for me.
Yeah.
So he didn't not answer my prayer. It just didn't look like what I thought it should. Right.
He just kind of politely pushed you in a different direction.
He definitely let me make my own choices. I promise you that, right? And it's like,
over yonder way.
It is what it is. The thought, though, that like we're living, still living in the day of rest, but how he was like, look, everything was created for redemption, right? Yeah. To be redeemed and to help redeem is kind of what came into my mind when he said that, right? So all the things that he already put, what it really says to me is take away the time, because for us, 24 hours is a day and that's game over.
Yeah.
Right. That day is long gone.
Yeah. 365 days is a year.
We don't understand time with God, right? Yeah. God's time doesn't mean anything to us. He's outside of time, right? Remember that physicist.
He's outside of time, space and everything. Matter.
Yeah. You remember that one, the scientist that we'd listened to talking about creation and the Big Bang and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And he was talking about there's definitely a beginning and this is outside of it. And like, he was like saying that science has already proven that God existed.
Yeah.
Right. But you have to wrap your mind around the fact that time means nothing to God. He's limitless.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. You know, like people talk about like the beautiful scenery of things when they go do stuff and like, oh man, the scenery is just so gorgeous. And it's like this, it's like that. And it's like, who do you think did that?
Yeah. It just happened by happy accident.
And it like, think too, there was a collision in space and it's just, poof, now you have all this beautiful scenery on Earth and you have
just by luck and happenstance
birds and the artichokes began to drool. No, that's not what happens. You know what I mean?
Come on, man. All right, Big Bang.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, though? I get it.
That's not how that works.
Yeah.
Like, you can't sit and look at all the things, all the creations on Earth, all the beautiful things that are around us and sit and think, oh man, that's cool. I mean, Big Bang made that.
My thing is, let's think about it like this. Why is it that can't explain how, but not why? Right?
Yeah.
Could it be possible that the Big Bang is just Big Bang? Big Bang is just explaining how God did it.
Yeah.
Right?
Like,
He put all the ingredients in place so that it would do what it did.
Yeah.
Right. He put it in the right order so that when he said, let there be light, and it was, and I saw that it was good. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why can't they coexist?
Yeah.
Because, look, there's plenty of people on the Christian side, of, on the church side of things, that will say, no, they don't exist together. God said it, and it, that's it. That's in the story.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's a pretty narrow-minded way of looking at things.
Yeah.
I don't know that God wants you to be so close-minded.
Yeah.
Why do you think he's not afraid of your questions?
Okay, so, here's another one. So when you talk about, when you were talking about in Genesis, when he was separating the waters from above and below, and they call it the sky.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of talk about this, the firmament.
Yeah, the firmament. I don't know enough about it, man. I don't know enough about it.
It just every
you're talking about like a boundary, so like we're within a kind of like we're in a snow globe.
Basically, I mean that's how I read it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
So are we side scrolling through life, man? Like that. So the firmament is how people say that this is a flat Earth. It's not round.
You know okay. So first and foremost, it could still be both in a snow globe. And you could have a ball in a globe, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, but that was not the question that's far beyond what I'm asking.
Yeah. We would have to do a lot more. I don't know about the firmament enough to like try and talk about it, you know what I mean? Like I don't, 'cause
they talk about like the blue skies and stuff and all that stuff, and it's like, okay, well, and he separates the waters from above, the waters below from the waters above.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. And it's like, okay, is that why the sky is blue?
Okay, so there is a barrier around the Earth, right? It's called the ozone, the atmosphere, right? Yeah. And that's why, because if you go outside of the atmosphere, everything's black.
Yeah.
Right? Well, with dots everywhere.
Yeah.
And a sun and all that kind of stuff. But, like, that's a great question, man. I honestly don't know. I wish I could. We talked a while ago about the plane. How when the plane goes up and back down instead of straight across, I found an explanation, and it's actually an absolute fact that it's faster to do the hook than it is to go straight.
Oh, like when they're flying. Like,
yeah, long distance.
Like to Russia or whatever, they go.
Yeah, they go up and down instead of straight across.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it had nothing to do with being overland. It's literally because it's faster.
Yeah.
I'll have to find the thing and show it to you, because I was like, I remembered us talking about it, and you're like, you'd think it makes go straight. Shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Right?
I could see how it would be longer to go straight, because the Earth, at that point, the curvature of the Earth is wider.
Yeah, exactly. That's the.
So it's, you go up.
And back down. That's what, and so that, to me, that's the greatest argument for the fact that the Earth is not flat.
Yeah.
It's arced.
See, I'm torn.
Spherical.
I'm torn. Like, I think it could be either.
How could it be both flat and spherical at the same time?
Not at the same time. I'm saying I think it could be either.
Oh, it could be
both. It could be either.
Well, I mean, I guess it could. I don't have any personal concrete proof. Like, I haven't physically seen it myself, other than video and pictures. You know what I mean?
So, the SR-71 Blackbird, the fastest jet in the history of mankind ever.
Okay.
Flew from America to, I want to say, Germany or something like that in like an hour.
Uh-huh.
It would have to be dropping to match the curvature of the Earth. It would have to be dropping, I want to say it's like 600 miles an hour, that it would have to drop, but never broke a level plane. How is that?
Explain that to me again. Say that again.
So to match the curvature of the Earth, to fly from America to Germany, I think that's what it is.
A long damn ways.
It's a long ways. And they made that flight in like an hour and something minutes, which is insane.
That's cooking. Yeah.
But in order for them to maintain altitude the whole way without just flying out into space, you know what I'm saying? They have to descend at like 610 miles an hour. Like, so they have to, the nose of the plane has to be dropping. You have to lose 610.
I see what you're saying, but you also have to account for gravity. Like, the plane is fighting gravity the whole time, right? Because we're not meant to leave the Earth, right?
Yeah.
We're stuck
so it's gravity.
Mm-hmm.
But how does the plane flying a level plane?
I mean,
that fast for that long without just being, ending up in the atmosphere. That's some of those questions that I'm just like, it makes sense.
Well, because it's not, it, it, just because it's not facing downward doesn't mean it's not traveling downward. Does that make sense? Because, look, a plane, when it's descending, goes like this with the nose up.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's,
yeah, because it still has to catch air.
Right. And when it goes to land, the nose is higher than the tail. So the whole time, it's doing that same thing. It's doing that same thing during the entire flight. It never goes like this. It's always like this the whole time.
Yeah.
The whole time. And it drops. Pointed like this.
Okay.
At a 20-degree angle-ish.
Yeah.
I don't know the answers, bro. I'm just telling you, like, I understand some, why that might cause questions.
It's some, it's just some things like that. Like, there's some things, like, I don't know. Like,
you would have to talk to somebody who flies jets to understand it. Like, I don't know that.
Like, I'm a firm believer that the government is never going to tell you the truth. They're never going to tell you the truth.
They haven't once. Why would they now?
Not once in the history of ever. So, I think outside the box on certain things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you get, like, of course, nowadays, you got flat, they call them flirters. You know what I mean? you got people making videos about that. You got people making videos about this. You know, and it's everywhere, all over the place. But one thing that really stuck out was, like, the firmament.
Yeah. I get it. I just don't know enough about it to really have a firm conversation about it. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't. I've had a lot of people talk to me about this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? But like, they're talking at me. You know what I mean? Nobody's teaching me anything. They're just telling me a lot
this
of times.
This is why this is right. That's it.
That's it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And like, they won't allow you to talk or ask questions. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like, for me, it's like, what was that guy's name? The danger guy that you talk about?
Yeah, Justin Danger Nunley.
Justin Danger Nunley, when he was talking about the potential TikTok ban. It's like, It seems to me like when you pose a question, you want answers, right? Yeah. Like you're trying to acquire answers, but you got to allow that person to talk.
Yeah. If you're questioning someone and you don't ever let them answer, you're not asking for to gain knowledge of the situation,
right?
You're basically just
you're just trying to prove your point, right? Yeah. And so opposite can be true for somebody who is saying everything but won't allow you to ask a question.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, well, you're not trying to teach me anything. You're just trying to tell me how dumb I am.
Yeah.
That's how I take that, right? And I know that might not, people aren't necessarily approaching it that way, but they're like, they try to make you feel stupid.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, dude, I'm not stupid. I promise you that. I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I'm not dumb. I can understand things if you'll just explain it to me. Yeah. Like, tell me. Don't just say, well, this is the evidence and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay, well, there's another side to that story,
yeah,
right? Somebody told you this. Well, let's talk to somebody on the opposite side and let's see why that either is or isn't the truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm that guy, right? I'm a firm believer in perspective.
Yeah.
You know, I would venture to guess somebody who flies an F-14 Tomcat could tell you a lot of things that you don't understand about aviation and curvature of the earth and all that. Like I can't, cause I'm not schooled in it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, see, and like another one that gets me is, that I can't remember where this little monument's at, but you can look through it and see the North Star at all, or you can see like some certain constellation at all times, no matter what.
It's
a little hole in the side of a monument. And you look through it and you can see like some certain star or constellation and it's been there for the history of ever.
Yeah.
Right.
So the
Earth rotates at 1,000 miles an hour while it's circling the sun at 66,000 miles an hour while we're traveling through the galaxy at however many thousand miles per hour. That same constellation is still visible through that little peephole.
Yep. It's the same can be said of all three of the Great Pyramids.
Yeah. Egypt. Yeah, because it lights up the.
Each one of those pyramids is lined up precisely with one of the three stars of the Belt of Orion.
Yeah.
Orion, right. So, same thing. You can look through a hole in that structure, and all you see is one of that star.
Yeah.
Right? And how they made that crap so precisely?
Yeah.
Don't know, but they know there's a whole lot of crazy stuff about that.
Yeah.
But here's where it's interesting to me. Go back to when the fall happened, and the fallen mingled with men and or mingled with the women and started having children and all this kind of stuff, right? Like, they taught them how to make weapons. They taught,
taught them technology, taught them about war,
That's how it's so precise, because they were there when God created the creation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how.
The giants, too. Like, they created, they bred with these women and created giants. And can you imagine one of them poor women giving birth to a freaking giant?
Nope.
Talk about, hey, doctor, we need to add an extra stitch.
Yeah. or five.
Yeah. I mean,
but I mean, it's like, if you really look at God's word, it tells you how did they get the knowledge? Because the fallen gave it to them.
Yeah.
Right? And it's all connected. That's the craziest part to me. Everything's connected. Everything's connected. It's all connected. All the stories are connected. The whole Bible is connected. It all lines up everything. Everything.
Yeah.
Right? And people look at these angels, these fallen angels, as gods. That's why they think they call them gods, right?
Yeah.
I honestly believe that.
So is that where, like, all this stuff like Zeus and Hades?
I believe so.
All them, like,
yeah. I believe so.
They thought they actually considered them, like, because Greek god, like, the Greek are the ones that have, and then the Greeks that have.
The Romans did too.
Romans?
Yeah, the Romans did too.
Have, like, all these different gods.
Hindu has hundreds and millions of gods.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy.
Hindu are, like, really peaceful people, aren't they? Or is that, no, that's,
yeah.
That's,
You're talking about Buddhists.
Buddhists.
Yeah. Hindu's not.
Hindu is Indian, right?
Okay. Do you know who Mahatma Gandhi? Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's peaceful, and he was a Hindu.
Yeah. But, like, okay, so, like.
Again, I don't know enough about their religion in order to speak on it too much, but.
Specifically, like, Indian people, like Eastern Indian
people. Yeah. Like Asian Indian, Malaysia, all that.
They're Hindu.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So
I do know that, because they consider cows as, like,
they don't eat cows.
No, they're they're sacred to them. It's like,
just like with Jews,
you've never had a good old ribeye before.
then Jews don't eat pigs because they're dirty.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
right. So, like, there's a documentary, I don't know if it's still available to watch everywhere or anything like that, that Morgan Freeman was in. He was not just a narrator, he was actually in it. And it was called Seeking God, Chasing God, Finding God, something like that. And he went and talked to all these people at different religions. And the one thing I found interesting with the Hindus is there are millions of gods, right? There's a god for everything.
Yeah, there's a god of sex.
There's a god, like,
There's a god of everything.
But what the Hindu master that he spoke to said was, there's still one all-powerful God.
Yeah.
There's still one that presides over everything. And the interesting thing about Hindu to me is there's both good gods and bad gods. Can that not be angels and demons?
Yeah.
From a Christian standpoint?
But can it also be worshiping false idols?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? If 100%. You consider them a god...
Well, okay, so then we got to stop. We got to talk about Christian side then, too. There are people who worship Mary.
Typically Catholics.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I'm not saying Mary doesn't need to be revered. All I'm saying is that she's not to be worshipped. That's for Christ. That's for God, right?
Yeah.
That's four.
Yeah, I know. I'm counting the wrappers.
Right? So it's like, I be counting my beers sometimes. I need to slow down on that. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's... St. Peter is also at times worshipped.
Yeah.
Like, you're not to worship them. They are not to be worshipped. It's okay to appreciate them, to revere them for the things that they did and accomplished, but that's not who you worship.
Yeah.
You worship God. God comes first. It's only God, right? I don't know, man. Yeah, all of this is focus on what the word of God says.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, to me,
how the hell did we get on the firmament anyway?
It's just, well, dude. I'm curious.
Yeah,
but there's been a lot of I've seen a lot of videos here lately. I've seen a lot, and it brought me back. You were reading through Genesis, and you were talking about the waters above being separated from the waters below.
Yeah,
and that's kind of curiosity starts.
Well, and, you know, I've never actually connected those to being the firmament. I've always just assumed that meant that
somewhere
it talks separated the sky from the earth.
Somewhere in there it talks about the firmament. Somewhere in the Bible it talks about the firmament.
See what we can find. I know you're right. Divided waters. Yes. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament.
Yes.
And God called the firmament heaven. That's Ooh. Genesis 1:8.
So that would mean
that heaven is here.
Heaven is here.
God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters. Under the firmament from the waters which were above. So that would mean it's on earth, yeah, inside the earth. And he called the, and God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day.
That just added so much confusion.
That is more.
I can smell the bacon cooking in my brain right now.
I can see my brain splattered on that.
Like I'm even more lost.
I'm
now.
Lost. This goes back to that question I always ask ourselves when we get too far into like down the rabbit hole. Like, okay, what does knowing actually answer for you?
It doesn't answer anything.
Yeah.
And speaking of the rabbit hole, you know, like we have talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
Once you find yourself scouring through that, you're actually looking for other reasons to be skeptical of anything.
Yeah.
Which you're taking faith out of the situation.
You know what I mean? Yes.
Like you're removing the faith that you have inside you.
Yep. And so you might actually counteracting the faith that you have.
Yeah,
right?
you're chasing this down this rabbit hole, and maybe it's not good. Maybe that's the reason we don't know is because God's like, hey, just keep your faith in me.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. That's a great point, man. For we walk by faith, right, and not by sight. So it's like, don't use your senses.
To see it to believe it.
Yeah, you don't. Don't think of this reality as all there is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's so much more. And God doesn't need you to know. I don't think he's worried about you inquiring, but be careful what you're focused too hard on, right?
There may be a reason he doesn't want us to know. It may be.
Because you don't understand and you won't understand. That's the problem. Because it says, scripture says that his ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. We can't even comprehend his thoughts. You know what I mean? So why? He's probably protecting us more than anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I wish God would let me have $1 billion. You know what I'm saying? But like, he's like, that's a bad idea for you, bro. I'm not going to let you have that.
You ain't equipped for that. You're not designed for that. If you were, you would have it.
Exactly. Or you're not ready. Doesn't mean it won't happen at some point. It's just, you're not ready. Yeah. You got to learn some things.
Yeah. You got some maturing to do. You need to gain some hindsight. Like, you need to understand, like, hey, how this works, what's going to happen here. Like,
yeah, it reminds me of the story about of Saul Paul, you know what I mean? Like, the scales on the eyes, you know what I mean? It's the same idea. Like, sometimes we're grasping for something, but we can't see the fact that God has a plan.
Yeah.
And, like, you're chasing after this thing is actually hindering you.
Yeah.
Instead of trusting in him, right, and actually walking in that faith, you know what I mean? So it's pretty crazy. It's an interesting conversation today, man. We're coming back hot. We got some firmament for your ass, among other things. And it's cool. It's cool. I appreciate that, too.
It's not. It's just I build up these questions. A lot of the times I build them up and I forget.
Right.
But then one little thing brings them out.
Yeah.
Just like that, dude. Just you were going through Genesis and it's like, oh, okay, hey, whoa.
Hey, there's this thing.
I've been sitting on this for a minute. I got to get this out now that I have the opportunity to remember.
I think that seek and you will find, search, right?
Yeah.
Open the door when he knocks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
we've talked before about, like, you better get real comfortable about not getting answers, man. Like, yeah. like you might not get the answer, but two things. You might not get it at all, and the second one is you might not get the one you want.
Yeah.
If there's anything that I've learned about our God is he doesn't ever do it the way you think it should be done. He didn't do it the way generations of Jewish people thought it should be done, right?
That's exactly where I was going. Yeah. Like, look at all these people that forsake him and gave him to the Romans to be freaking brutally crucified.
1,000%, bro. I mean,
it's not what they look like. They expected a general. They wanted a commander. They wanted a leader to come in and slaughter the enemy.
They wanted militant Messiah, not peaceful.
They thought he was going to ride in and just start slaying folks, and that's not what he loved.
Oh, he slayed, just not the way they thought it would be. You know what I mean?
He loved his people. He loves his people. I shouldn't speak past tense. He loves his people.
You know, sometimes, you know, the Bible says it that way, too. So don't beat yourself up, too. Sometimes it says, for God so loved the world.
Yeah.
Right.
God so loves the world.
Yeah. And he does. Clearly he does.
Yeah.
I still don't know about the whole seventh day thing. Like, we didn't talk too much about that, but like.
No, because I got all off into this freaking.
We went weird on this creation binge. My thought on that seventh day thing, though, is, okay, what does it mean if we are? If we're still living in the seventh day of creation. And all this has happened in that, what does that really mean?
I think it speaks for God's timeline.
Hmm. Yeah.
Me personally.
Sure, sure.
Not like, hey, this is what this means. But for me personally, I feel as though it speaks for God's timeline. Like, it's a true testament of him being separated from our timeline.
Right. It's a good representation of what that actually means.
Yeah, he's outside of time.
You know, yeah, he is, and I guess to me it's like, again, here's the argument. Okay, creationists, Christians, whatever you want to call them, believe that the earth was literally created in a literal 7 days, right? There's no room for millions and billions of years, which is what the science tells you.
Yeah.
Because of carbon studies and this kind of stuff, right? Like, how they know that this would... I don't know. I can't give you those answers. But science... Look, I think the two should be able to intermingle. That's the problem for me. Why can't they coexist?
Here's my answer for that. If we are still living in God's seventh day, just consider the fact that just us at our age of 44 years old, we've been living in God's seventh day. For 44 years. Let's just take that. Let's not go back any further. Just take that into consideration. Mm-hmm. Does that not mean he could have taken 44 years for day one?
Oh, he could have. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
No, don't worry about anything prior to us. Okay, gotcha.
But then you take into consideration the fact that you go back to BC, or let's just go to AD. Let's just go to 180, the day that Jesus was conceived or born. Right, that starts the AD calendar.
I believe so. Yeah, I kind of discovered that.
Okay. So we're living in 2025 AD. 2025 years. Let's just say that's one day.
Yeah.
Okay, 7 days.
Yeah.
He created...
All of it.
All of it in 7 days. But if we're still living in his seventh day...
Yeah. It means you
can't... It means it could have taken him... 6,000-7,000 years for day one.
Yeah, in our timeline.
Yeah, because he's outside of time.
Correct, but what is 10 million years to us is a blink for him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
But as humans, we look at it as 24 hours. God did it in 24 hours.
Forgetting that
seven literal calendar days. The calendar didn't come until after all this.
Way after, yeah.
Yeah, do you think God sits there with a calendar? You think God's looking at his wristwatch going, hey, right, it's now it's 6:47.
It's it's December 24th. Yeah, tomorrow you're going to be born, son. Yeah,
6:47. I think we'll give it about 15 more minutes and I'll let there be light. No, that's not how it goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's a very interesting thought because I think that it's, again, I can't say that we're 100% right, just like I can't say he's right. I don't know that.
Exactly.
But I think it brings up a great thought process of like, okay, it could explain what he was trying to say is it explains the fossil record stuff. Like, it's like, yeah, that would explain it. Yeah. Like, because it hasn't been set. It wasn't 7 days. It wasn't.
It's not literal days. I think what people get confused is they think literal days.
There it is, because his thoughts are not our thoughts. We can't understand.
Yeah.
So it's literally just trying to describe it. It's just trying to say, like, here's what happened on this day, this day, this day, this day. For God, it was what we would think of as a day, right? Yeah. He woke up. He's had his morning coffee. He's like, let there be light.
I think I'll create some light.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's, if you really think about it like that, but in our timeline compared to his timeline, I think what it speaks to is the vastness of how big God is.
Yeah.
Not just the time, but just how big God is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You think about time to an ant compared to us, right? What does a 24 hours look like to a creature that's...
Or a fly. Flies, technically, what's the lifespan of a fly?
24 like, hours.
24 hours?
Yeah.
That's an entire lifetime.
That's a lifetime for a fly. So what does time look like to that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you think when they're dying, they're like, these sorry MFers didn't leave me no trash out so I could feed my family. You know what I mean? Like, you got 100 more years of flies to deal with. You couldn't freaking leave me some trash so I could feed my... I don't know, you know?
I mean, I get it. You get... But you see what I'm talking about how big God is, you know what I mean? Like, because to us, time goes by, right?
Yeah.
And it goes... It's slow to us. I say, you know, his time is slow to us. And God even says in Scripture, I'm not being slow.
Yeah.
I'm being patient for you, right? I'm being patient for your sake because I know the timeline. Because yeah. God has a plan, and he knows the plan better than you do. Yeah. Your plans don't equal his plans. So if we can line up our plans with his plans, things will go a lot better for us, right? That's the whole point.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's what it means to me. I think it talks to just how big he is and how small we are.
Yeah.
But we're so small, yet were such an important thing to him and such an important part of the process.
Our lifetime may be an hour to him.
It could be 5 seconds. It could be a millisecond.
That's like, dang, man, dude, you had 30 minutes to prove me right and you failed miserably. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
He said you got it right a couple times, but damn it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I know this is totally off subject, but this just brought this up too. I don't know if you've seen that, and I'm not here to bash anybody, and I'm not here to say anything bad. Have you seen the Kenneth Copeland video about he made?
Say it. Do you know?
I can't. He says that he's made peace with God, and he'll die on this certain day at 125 years old or 120 years old.
Kenneth Copeland said this.
Yes.
First 6 days.
What? Sorry,
dude. You got to find this.
Okay.
It's Kenneth Copeland talking about his death day. He's like, I've made a pact with God, or I've made peace with God. On this day in 2056 or 2055, I'm going to die.
Okay, so first and foremost, I have to argue that he's not going to live that old because God gives us a limit on our years.
It is crazy, dude. It is so crazy. And he's like genuinely like talking to the church, like he's talking to them about,
my spirit shall not remain in man forever, and his days shall be 120 years.
Yeah.
Meaning nobody will live past it, just so you know. If he thinks he's going to make it to 125, he's done.
Okay.
Listen to a lie.
Maybe it's 120.
Okay.
But.
Hi, Doc. I love your.
Sorry. I have to turn it down because it's going to play automatically. Let's see. Yeah.
You got to find
Kenneth
this
Copeland.
Yeah.
Dead. 120 years old.
There you go. Got to play this.
All right, let's see what happens.
I have made an entered covenant with God. And on December the 6th, 2056, I'll see you all later. I'm out of here.
56?
120 years old.
I
consider not my body 83 years old in the name of Jesus, but only that which God had promised. And I have a personal covenant with God to live 120 years on this earth.
But then I have.
the thing is, he doesn't have a personal covenant with God. That's everybody's covenant. You're capable of living to 120 years and only 120 years.
Yeah.
End of discussion. End of discussion.
Okay, but how?
That's some bold shit right there, bro. Yes. Excuse my language, but that's very bold.
Dude, when I seen that, I was like, what?
I would never, even if I felt like God told me that, I would never be so bold as to
December
think
that. December 6th, 2056, I'm out of here. And I'm like, what?
I don't know, man. That's a slippery slope he's traveling on. He's in a weird place anymore. I have a feeling that at one point in his life, he probably was super dedicated to God. You know what I mean? But I feel like at some point he got off the rails. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's why I feel like God's patient for our sake, right? Like if he were to like the whole I know you remember the video when he bought a plane and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people were trying to tear him down. Look, I don't. It's not wrong for people to have wealth.
Yeah.
God doesn't say that, okay? It's not. However, how you acquire that wealth, to me, means something.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. I don't know the whole story. I don't know his whole story. I don't know how he's like, the person asked, well, how are you going to appropriate funds that were given to you by your church congregation to buy you a plane? Right? Good question. I would have that question too.
That's a fair question.
But at the same time, I don't know where all of his dollars come from. I don't know. He could have invested smartly and done, you know what I mean? We've talked about this before with our pastor. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know. He's been a lot of years slumming it too. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like being dang near homeless, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure. But anyway, I feel like at some point that became his focus was the money. You know what I mean? I don't think God looks down on having money.
Yeah.
I think that if you allow that to become your Lord, right, which is can be anything. We've talked about how sin can be anything. Yeah. If you allow money to be the Lord of your life, you kind of see what happens. And it's not just him. You see it with lots of freaking people, man.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's pretty crazy. I have entered a personal covenant with God.
That's why I was like, 120. I was like, man, this is dude. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying anything bad. It wasn't any of that. It's gonna be real weird if he makes it. Yeah, tell me about it. But it struck me so odd that he was so boldly saying,
I think he's
naming out a day.
Yeah. That's really trippy.
December 6th, 2056. I'm out of here. It's like,
if you're still alive, are you going to just put a bullet in your head like so it'll be true or what?
I mean, like, wow.
I don't know. That's some weird stuff. To me,
has anyone ever lived to be 120?
Probably. I don't know, dude. But now you're talking about recorded history. You know what I mean? How long have they been recording that?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Oh, dude. So this just came up. I just opened my Google. Have you seen the previews for the new Fight or Flight movie with Mark Wahlberg?
No, I have not.
Look at this dude.
Show it to the camera.
He's freaking bald. Like bozo bald. Dude, the preview came out and I was like, what in the...
Is that Mark Wahlberg?
Fork? Yes.
Whoa, that's weird.
Dude, bro, look at this. Look at this.
Oh, wow.
He got a bozo haircut.
That is crazy.
So it come up on the TV, and I saw it. I was like, whoa. And so I immediately broke out the old Google because I had to freaking look.
I'm sure there's been somebody that's lived to be 120. But the thing about it is our days are limited. God limited the number of days that we can live. And so that covenant is for everybody. We can all make it to 120. I guess he's saying, though, that he knows he's going to make it to 120.
A French woman lived to be 122 years old and 122 years and 164 days old, dying in 1997.
That's a long time to live.
Jeanne Calment. I don't know. I was thinking Jeannie, but.
Jeanne Calment. That's an interesting 122. So she made it past the 120 mark.
122 and 164.
I wonder
days.
What her relationship with the Lord was.
You know,
that'd have been interesting.
Oh man, Jerome. Jeroiman, Kimura, the oldest verified by modern standards, lived to be 116 and 54 days. Tomiko, these are all Chinese people or Japanese people, like Joan Nito or Murano Nito, 112, 116, 116.
Interesting.
In January 1988, she was widely reported to be the oldest living person, and in 1995, at age 120, was declared the oldest verified person to have ever lived.
Verified.
Verified person to have ever lived. Her longevity attracted media attention and medical studies of her health lifestyle. She is the only person in history who has ever been verified to have reached the age of 120.
Wow.
Dying at 122 years and 164 days.
The only verified person.
Only
to
verified.
Reach.
Born in February 21st, 19 or 1875.
Whoa! And died in 95?
Died in 97. August 4th of 97.
What?
Dude!
What?
Yes! I graduated the year after that.
I had a first kid at 17. I was 17.
Bro.
Wow.
February 21st, 1875 through August 4th, 1997.
Gosh. You know how cool it would have been to have a conversation with her? Bro.
That chick has seen
everything. She started when they didn't
that
have.
That was her at age 40.
It was very attractive.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. Yeah. Dude, for those times,
show the camera.
She was probably a fox, bro.
I mean, it's a hand sketch, but you
yeah,
know.
And it's not a picture. It's someone sat down and drew it.
But think she was born in
1875. Born Eres Bonches de Rhone, France.
She was 40.
Died in the same place.
She was 40 in 1915, right before World War One started.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Calumet in 1915, age 40.
Wow. That's crazy,
bro. That is nuts.
She saw the birth of a lot of things in the world. Yeah. Of course, she was from France, so like she wouldn't in the United States, but like the birth of the railroad in the United States happened, the expansion of the United States happened, all this. Golly.
According to census records, Calumet outlived both her daughter and her grandson. In January 1988, she was widely reported to be the oldest living person, and in 1995, at age 120, was declared the oldest verified person to ever live.
Can you imagine, though, outliving your children and your grandchildren?
Okay, so her daughter, Yvonne Calment, was born in 1898, died in 1934, I'm sure, of a disease.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Her husband, Fernand Calment, born in 1896, died in 1942, probably war.
Yep, that would have been World War II.
Yep, that's probably war. Wow. Wow. That's crazy,
wild, dude.
1875, bro. And she just died not too long ago.
I was only 17.
Yeah.
I mean, that was not
like right down the way.
That my oldest son was born in 97. That is crazy.
Oh, that's wild.
That is crazy.
Okay, I did this one Monday, so we can't do this one. Ah, that's stupid.
They're all stupid. It's dad jokes, dog.
Why was the baseball player a bad sport? He stole third base and then went home.
I mean, yeah. 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 Bad, bad dude. That was a bad dude. I feel like I've said this one before, but I write them all down, so I don't think so. C.S. Lewis, which is, we've talked about him a time or two. He's written. I think I said Roten. He wrote the book Mere Christianity. He wrote several books about his walk with Christ, and you know, it didn't start in that way. But my prayer is that when I die, all of hell rejoices that I am out of the fight.
Wow. Wow.
Yes, sir. I agree.
Wow. I don't know if that's a. Ooh, man, I don't know how to take that one.
That hell is glad that you're no longer in the fight?
Is that...
That's what he's saying.
So is that, like, good? I mean, is that him saying, like, hell no longer has to worry about me...
Fighting against it is what I think the, okay. the implication.
Okay.
I believe that's the implication.
Okay.
I think it's the if this is not bumper sticker wisdom, we can change it. I think the implication is that hell is glad he's no longer able to fight against it in the world.
Okay.
Right.
I got you.
That's the implication. I could be wrong, but I think that's what it is.
I got you.
Goodness gracious. You got me scared there for a second.
I'm leaving this episode more confused than I was when I came in.
Yeah.
But I'm also leaving it having probably gained about 25% of the knowledge I thought I would.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It just, we got onto some topics that I was just kind of like, what? You know, of course, I'm the one that's like, hey, have you seen this?
Yeah. Well, but, you know, interestingly enough, like, it's I love how God allows that to happen. Like, we commit it to him, right? We submit it to him in prayer. Like, you know, I love the authenticity of what we do. We just try to be real people. Yeah. Like, we're trying to live through life. And, you know, there's more than just me and you having that conversation or having those thoughts, right? Like, there's lots of people.
Other people that are like, yeah.
Yeah.
I got this. Explain
that
questions.
To me, you know? And, hey, look. It's a great opportunity to plug. Like, if you know things about this stuff that we don't, we'd love for you to share that with us. You can do it by email. You can do it through Instagram, Facebook. You can hit us up on YouTube, TikTok, all the places, right? And then and pass us on knowledge. We would love for you to do that. We appreciate doing anybody who wants to engage with us. So the email is bswunbound80@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Working on potentially having a website before too long.
Yeah.
Lots of things we're hoping to change, not change this year, but to add this year. Yeah. And we're excited
for
the ride.
Some more cool features downloading soon. So
yes,
you guys,
sir.
Check it out. All the major social or podcast platforms, RSS.com, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, or Amazon Podcast, Apple Music. I don't know how it goes.
Apple Podcast,
yeah.
Amazon
Apple
Music.
Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. Hit us up.
Yep.
Y'all enjoy.
We got stickers for sale if
you
want. $3 a piece. T-shirts, $20 a piece. We're hoping to have the website part to help with some of that. Support what we're doing. Support the ministry because we do this for free, but it ain't free to do. Like we pay for subscriptions to put our stuff out there. We pay for equipment. We pay for anytime we have to try. All the things that we're trying to do are going to cost us money.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Cameras that you just ordered.
That I just ordered. Yeah. That's come out of my personal dollars.
Yeah. So help us out.
Help us out. We'd appreciate it. I mean, we're not just asking you to give us money. Like, I'm not asking you to donate.
You
we'll give you something for
get
it.
Get something in return.
So beyond that, this is, we love doing it. We love trying to help people and love people and motivate them. And, you know, we're here to create relationship, not only with each other, but with Christ and just learn. You know what I mean? We want to get better.
Yeah.
I don't know everything.
Get through life together.
Yep. I don't know everything. You don't know everything.
I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing.
You know a hell of a lot more than you let on, dog.
I don't know nothing.
I have a good idea. Let's put it that way. I don't know anything, but I have a good idea.
I can make some assumptions, but you know what it means to assume.
Yes, I do. So anyway.
Nice. Love you guys. Thank you for tuning in.